Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 70. Here with my co-host today, the guy who's so fly, he'll take you to the sky, Mr. Sign Guy. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right today, Coach.
Why don't you introduce our guest for us?
Well, our guest is the Drip Goat, Cosmo. Cosmo, welcome to the Coach Mike Jones podcast.
What up, what up, what up? I'm hyped, Coach Mike Jones. Your intro music got me ready to go. Let's do it, baby. Drip Goat is in the
nice. Nice.
And Sign Guy, I ought to smack the shit out of you for that intro. You could do better than that, man. Drip Goat is here, baby.
I said you were in the Drip Goat, did I not?
Damn
he
it,
did.
You should have been hyped, man. I'm in the house. Let's go.
There he is, the Drip Goat. And then, Sign Guy, why don't you give him the first-timer question?
The first-timer question, for people that are not aware, is the question we ask first-time guests most of the time. Cosmo, how did you get into this crazy, crazy business of professional wrestling?
That's a great question. Originally, it was through video production. It's one of the reasons why I'm the Drip Goat. I do it all, baby. I produce TV. Well, I used to produce TV shows. A great man by the name of Jason Sullivan gave me an opportunity to produce the NWWA show back in the day. That's originally my intro into the business.
Nice. And then, Sign Guy, we have to verify that Chicken Bob is in the house, right?
Chicken Bob is very nearby, but he is in a different part of the place. He's getting ready for a show later today. He's getting his referee shirt ready just in case he's needed for that.
Okay, cool. Okay, now, Cosmo, the first segment is called Heroes. Who were your heroes growing up?
Great question. And that's something I don't take lightly because a hero has got to mean something, got to be something. The only heroes I had were Muhammad Ali and Huey P. Newton, the
and
founder of the
he?
Black Panthers.
Okay, right on. And then did you have any in music?
Not heroes, no.
All right, and then did you play sports in high school or growing up?
Yeah. I ran track, cross country, and played basketball collegiately in track and basketball.
For who?
Portland State, Portland Community College.
Right on. Okay, and then what's your self-defense background?
Well, street fighting.
Okay,
I grew up on the streets of L.A., Linwood and Compton, Long Beach. So that's my background. Every day was a fight growing up. And when where you live, where I grew up, that's something you just know how to do, or you're just going to get the shit beat out of you every day.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Okay. Now, the next part is called memorable matches. In your lifetime, what are some of the most memorable matches that you've seen? That includes VHS, tape, internet, or live.
Seen? Oh, my God. There's so many. I pretty much watched everything Tiger Mask has ever done in Japan, especially versus the Dynamite Kid. That's probably some of my favorite stuff. I love watching the British Bulldogs in Japan, Muda. Probably some of the most memorable matches I went to were as a kid at the L.A. Coliseum. I've pretty much seen everybody who was anybody in the 80s because I grew up in L.A. and wrestling was big in L.A. It was always there. There was like smaller time wrestling, like what I grown to know was indie wrestling. There was that in L.A. It's hard to name, just, you know, narrow it down, but a lot of my favorite stuff is the stuff I've mentioned in Japan.
Awesome. Okay. And then, of course, we're excited to hear about your most memorable matches.
Everyone, to be honest with you, just being able to step foot in the square circle is an absolute blessing. So probably tag matches I got to do against Jeremy Blanchard. Absolutely love that guy and Bubba Blanchard. Getting the opportunity to work with them. Doing a TV match with Wade Hess and Thunder probably sticks out at the top of the list for Portland Uncut. Just because when I got into the business, I really enjoyed their work. And because I think Thunder was just who he was, like, he was fucking Thunder. If you met him, you got in the ring with Thunder, you believed everything about that man. So being able to film him, or actually watch him as a fan, to filming him, to working with him in the ring, and Wade Hess, probably was one of the most memorable ones. They're amazing, great to work with. And they kick ass, so I like the whole kicking aspect part of what we do. So that it was fun getting to mix it up with those guys, the Blanchards. They're amazing. And I gotta say, my debut for Championship Wrestling in Hollywood against G3, Grappler 3, that was up there too. Probably one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had.
Yes, awesome. And you've had a lot of high-profile TV matches, whether it was Hollywood or Portland and even other companies, right?
I've been blessed. I've been blessed with the opportunity to do a lot of different things. I've done Grimm. I've been, you know, had little bit parts on Grimm, Leverage. Done a lot of TV stuff. I've turned down more opportunities than I've ever done with that because, you know, I never really wanted TV is not my thing. I love wrestling TV, but as far as the whole Hollywood, I just do that because, I mean, it's there and sometimes it's fun, but sitting around in the dressing room with, you know, them people, like, that's the part that I don't like about it. But yeah, I've been blessed to do a lot of different things. Those ones that I mentioned especially, man, huge opportunities, especially being on the same card with Adam Pearce. you know, L.A. Knight when he was Sean Ricker. You know, the list goes on and on. But, yeah, huge opportunities and so blessed to have been able to, you know, do those things.
Absolutely. Okay, and then you mentioned you did a lot of different aspects of wrestling, production and stuff. What other characters have you done besides yourself?
That's it. What the hell else could I be? I'm the greatest thing walking God's green earth. I am the drip goat. Why would I be anything else?
Okay. Right on, yeah. I hear you. Okay, and then let me see. This next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
Man, you know, I would say a Snickers mocha, either blended or hot. Coffee is the most amazing thing in the world, probably. I drink too much of it, probably. But, yeah, Snickers mocha.
Okay. And then what have been your favorite concerts you've seen?
Favorite concerts? Scarface. Here in Portland at the Roseland. I've seen MC Hammer live. That was an amazing show. Yeah, if you can believe that. Let's see, who else have I seen? I've seen a lot of people. I can't think of it right now. Honestly, more like I love like jazz. I've been to some really dope jazz shows. Ziggy Marley, that's another great one I've been to.
Awesome, yeah.
Trying to go to Damian Marley next. But,
nice.
Yeah, those are some of my favorites.
And then in your life, what's your favorite sports teams?
Well, the absolute greatest team in the history of, you know, team sports, the Lakers. That's my favorite basketball team. Football team would be the San Francisco 49ers. But in L.A., I mean, I grew up liking all the L.A. teams, the Dodgers. Well, except for the Clippers. We can't say all L.A. teams because technically they don't count as an L.A. team. But the rest of them, the Dodgers, when the Raiders were in L.A., I was rocking with them. Bo Jackson was a man when I was a kid growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Who else? Yeah, Dodgers, Lakers. Those are my teams.
Okay, cool. And then in your career, who have you been your favorite people to work with?
Favorite people to work with? Man. Favorite people to work with. The Godfather. I got to work with him a little bit. He was an amazing mentor. The Blanchards, Jeremy and Bubba Blanchard. Adam Pearce. Morris, I mean, he did a lot of producing for stuff that I did, so, and more of like mentor, like he was amazing in the back of the locker room, like that's one of the cool things I can say with a lot of the big names that I got to work with. They're the most amazing people and giving and humble, like that it blew me away. I mean, there's a ton of people like Thunder. I don't want to forget anybody. Jason Sullivan, just because I learned a lot from him, watching him and getting production type stuff with stuff I didn't know about the business and what I learned from, you know, him and other wrestlers kind of really helped as far as made the production better, which was never, you know, all that great in the first place because what I was learning on the job at the time, but it got better because of the actual input from them. What's his name? Ethan HD. I learned a lot from him as far as how to shoot wrestling. I don't know. I mean, they probably don't even remember or even know, but just tips that they were giving me. I learned a lot as far as, you know, that type of the aspect. Wrestling-wise, it would have been the Blanchards. Having the opportunity to train with those two guys was one of the most amazing things I've done in my life. And I've done a lot of really cool things, but, like, just as people and just learning and training, getting to work with, that was a really cool experience. And trying to think who else, man, I'm drawing a blank because I'm on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. And then, hey, I do think I remember not too long ago, a guy that was a coworker of mine, and we turned out to be pretty good friends and go up and down the road a little bit, Mr. J.B. Luce. What about
him?
Oh,
yeah. God, that's another one, bro. Like, he is amazing. Collegiate wrestler. I got to train with him a little bit for a while, and I learned a lot from him. I grew up around a lot of amateur wrestlers. One of my best friends in life was a national champion in Greco-Roman freestyle wrestling. So I've been wrestling and, you know, having fun as with wrestling since I was a kid. And when we showed up to train at BAW in McMinnville, J.B. Luce is one of the first cool people I met. There was a lot of people. I'm not going to mention any names. But, you know, they weren't, you know, I don't know, friendly, welcoming type people. J.B. was just a real cool-ass dude that, you know, that made it fun and, in a sense, took the edge off of getting your ass beat all the time because you were learning so much. JB could translate things wrestling-wise and make it make sense for me. And outside of the ring, cool dude. I've been to his house. Haven't seen him or talked to him in so long, but, like, I just think highly of him and as a person, straight up. Good dude.
Right on. Yeah, because, you know, I remember one day I think you said something like he was one of your favorite guys or something. And I was like, right on, that's cool because, man, so many people shit on him around in this up here, you know. And I think he finally just moved to Oregon and just quit wrestling and really basically quit talking to people. His brother still lives up here in Spanaway area as far as I know. I talk to him sometimes. But
bro.
And then I got we were working for Bob, the promoter, doing construction for BAW. So,
I remember.
Other things about him, it's like, my God, he was so special where it's like anything I needed to help out for the shows, he would do happily.
Bro.
And then, dude, he would bring 100 people would come to see him alone. I mean, there is nobody that I've booked that's even come close.
Well, yeah, the drip goat. You ain't booked the drip goat, but I bring the VIP section. Your boy Sign Guy's seen the VIP section. JB, though, when I was working with him down at BAW, I know the girls loved him. That's why guessing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. This is me first time hearing somebody doesn't like JB Luce. That's one of the coolest motherfuckers I've met in my life. And when I first met him, I was blown away that he was what you would call a rookie and had that many people in the, you know, seats watching. Pretty women, big women, like all type of people. And that's what I'm guessing is jealousy.
Definitely.
I happen to know that that's real in the wrestling scene as far as he can do it big time. Dude's a real wrestler. You're not going to punk him. And the fact that he's a good dude on top of it, the ladies love him.
I know.
I'm already knowing Mike Jones. You ain't even got to explain it to me.
Exactly. All right. Well, hey, let's give Sun Guy a chance. I'm sure he's got a bunch to ask you. I got some more when he's done.
Okay.
Thank you, Coach. Well, Cosmo, you mentioned Jason Sullivan giving you a break earlier. He has relocated to South America, and he's helping sort of at the ground level build up professional wrestling there. what do you think of wrestling going to South America and being built up as a viable place for independent wrestlers from this country to maybe visit and get a maybe a full-time job down the road once it's established?
I think that, you know, it's an amazing opportunity. The fact that, you know, he moved out there and is committed to that, like, that just shows you what type of a person he is. The dude is all about, you know, giving opportunities. Because I'm like one of those people like J.B. Luce. Like, you know, people don't like me because I'm 6'5", 245 pounds, and you can't kick my ass. I'm going to tell you what I think. And when you have those type of situations and this dude still gives me an opportunity, and it just speaks volumes of him and the type of person he is. I do believe that, you know, he's the one person, you know, from around here that could probably go do something like that. That would be an amazing opportunity for a lot of people involved. And the people, like the students that he's got down there, they're in an amazing position, and I hope they take full advantage of it, because you don't get opportunities like that, you know, every day.
When a lot of people get into the wrestling business, one of the goals for them includes travel, because wrestling is a business where if you do it on a more full-time basis, you're going to have to travel outside of your home base. Are there any places at this point in your career where you have not gone yet that would be most attractive to you to go wrestle?
No. I've done everything that I set out to do. I've reached every goal that I've ever wanted to in this business and life. Everything else I do is icing on the cake, a blessing. I think, you know, probably any opportunity again to work with the gorgeous one, Michelle Starr, and I don't know how I forgot his name when we were talking about, you know, names earlier that were influential, and the gorgeous one is right up there with all of those. One of the most amazing people you'll ever meet. Learned so much from that guy on psychology and just, you know, what we do. Like, the grappler, I can't believe I forgot his name as well. But, man, yeah. Getting the opportunity to probably work with those two guys again, you know, if possible at some point. The grappler and gorgeous Michelle Starr are two of the most phenomenal people in this business to work with.
So Grappler not only was a fantastic in-ring performer, he
yeah.
was known as one of the best interviews in the history of the wrestling business. He
For sure.
did a lot of training of guys in and around Portland in the last 30, 35 years. How instrumental was he for helping you not only in the ring, but also behind the microphone?
Huge, 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 huge. I came into this business thinking I was a talker. And I learned that, you know, I didn't know as much as I thought I did. Lynn Denton, the grappler, is the man. I got to train with him a lot. As far as like learning on the mic, he was instrumental in me becoming the drip goat. That's how great he is. The guy is a great teacher of the business. And when I say that word, let me say that again, the business of professional wrestling. That's why I just don't pop up anywhere, is because I learned the business from a lot of great men in this sport. From the grappler, the godfather, D'Lo, I got to pick their minds a lot back in those BAW days. The grappler training with him is probably one of those bucket list type things, because I grew up, my grandfather, got me into watching wrestling. So as a kid, when I came in and I'm seeing these guys, and I got to see the grappler in person live when I first moved to Oregon, Salem Armory blew me away. Him and Al Madrill, those were probably my two favorites, and Beetlejuice, Art Barr, those were some of my favorites when I was in high school. So getting to train and pick the mind of the grappler, him, when helping me on my debut in Hollywood, like, I almost pissed my pants. I was, so nervous. And he just put his arm around me. It was like, kid, and just made everything relax. It was just butter. That would be the best way that I can describe Lynn Denton, the grappler, is working with him, and what you do is just butter, straight butter. It's that smooth. It's that beautiful.
The grappler put out his autobiography a few years ago, which was a very good read. And around this time, with the holidays approaching, wrestling fans will ask for and also give wrestling-related books as gifts. Do you have any recommendations on wrestling-related books if the listeners today are thinking of picking some up for the gift-giving season?
Absolutely. First and foremost, definitely the grappler Lynn Denton's. As soon as that thing came out, I was like, throw my money, take my money. I almost went to go to Jovi's house and see, bro, can I get like an advanced copy? Didn't happen, but I would say definitely his. It's a great read. Rowdy Piper's, a great read. I love that. I mean, it's page turners. Those are two books like I read in a day. I love reading. And that, it was just such an easy read, and it's a fun read, like stuff you didn't think you were going to find out, inside little stuff, and especially Rowdy's. I would say Ric Flair's was a good one. And probably one of my personal favorites was the Dynamite Kids book. That one too. I would say those ones. If you love pro wrestling, and you don't have or have not read those books, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
We have seen a few wrestlers in the Pacific Northwest come out with books. We have a lot of people that have written not only autobiographies, but also a lot of historical books on the old Portland territory, in Silverstone's territory, in Washington and Idaho. So there's a lot out there. But have you ever considered writing your own story at some point?
No, I've never considered it. I don't know. I'm too young for something like that. I think that's for people, towards retirement age, or I don't know. It's not something I've really considered, no. I do like to write. I've done I haven't just done camera production work. I've done a lot of writing, written for TV shows that you'd never know about, just because it's not stuff that I do so many things. It's like, I don't want to sound like, I don't know. I hate to be that guy that sounds like he's bragging or he's saying real shit. Writing, no. If I ever did, it'd be a wild book. I've got some fun stories. I probably will, now that you bring it up, because one of these days I want to tell some people about the time I snuck my boy Dylan Devine onto the TV show, the set of the TV show Grimm, and got him on TV.
I'm not going to ask you for royalties or anything, but maybe a promotional copy would be nice once it's written.
Sign guy, just because you're affiliated with Kick and Bob, I'm going to give you an autographed copy.
Oh, that'd be huge. Yeah. I'd love that. Now, as someone that does come out of a television background and not just professional wrestling television, looking at the landscape today with so much wrestling on television at the national level,
yeah,
do you think that the television market is perhaps oversaturated with pro wrestling right now, or do you think it's in a healthy spot, or do you think that there's actually room for more televised wrestling at the national level?
At the national level, no, I don't think there's room for more. Is it saturated? Man, that's a great question. I don't think it's necessarily saturated because wrestling has always been big on TV, and TV is in more of a decline right now than pro wrestling is. There's more viewers on, you know, tablets and cell phones and devices than TV right now. So I think pro wrestling is actually helping television in a sense. When I grew up as a kid in L.A., you can watch different markets. I seen Mid-South as a kid, some Texas. My grandfather was always watching wrestling every time I came over. So I don't know. From what I seen growing up to what's going on now, I don't think it's saturated. I think wrestling is helping television right now.
At the independent level of professional wrestling, there are still some promotions out there that run traditional broadcast television. A lot of companies have gone to streaming services and shows on YouTube and so forth. From what you watch and what you have seen, how many promotions do you think have a good, solid understanding of presenting their product on television or on streaming services?
You know, I'm not going to down anybody's TV show, because if you're trying to make television, to make your television worthy, no matter, you know, what it necessarily looks like, I mean, unless it's just, you know, some bootleg backyard type shit. I don't want to put, you know, anybody in a negative light like that. I feel like there's a lot of promotions out there that have the talent to produce really good quality professional wrestling television. Sometimes, you know, things get in the way and what it actually comes across looking like. But there's so much talent out there right now and quality matches that are going on, I don't think you can necessarily downplay, you know, what TV shows look like, you know, on a regular basis.
Now, you've been around long enough to know, like Coach and I both know, if a promoter sees enough space to put up a ring and some chairs, they will give it a shot. And pro wrestling has seen shows in any type of venue you can think of, from churches to bars to parking lots to convention centers and everything in between. As it stands right now, what would you say is the strangest venue in which you've wrestled?
The strangest venue that I've wrestled in? I would say probably the Bob White Theater in Portland. Producing TV in a theater was kind of weird, and the way it was just set up, like the ring damn near was almost on a slant, just the way the floor was constructed and set. That was probably the weirdest venue. It was just old, like really old. I remember one time I was actually sitting in the very top with Othello, big 7-foot brother that was wrestling for Hollywood at the time. And as we were talking, he was kind of schooling me on some things and kind of preparing me for my debut in Hollywood. And at one point, we just end up joking, like, if we should really be sitting in these chairs, because it just really smelled like butt crack and just, you know, 3-day-old nut. Like, it just, it was a nasty-ass little venue.
On the flip side of that question, what has been your favorite venue in which to wrestle?
I would say we're at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood was filming back in 2014. It was right off of the beach, like you can take your boots off and walk in sand in the ocean water. Beautiful, beautiful venue. Really great people, like from as like production all the way down to the people that set up the ring. Like everybody that you encountered with was professional, really cool. That was an amazing venue. Being from California as well, being able to wrestle right off the beach with some really cool stuff, man, in a really cool venue with some special people.
We also know that a lot of times in professional wrestling, whether it's televised or if it is just in front of the local fans at the local arena, the ring announcing can vary a great deal, and the ring announcers are supposed to be the face of the company, the voice of the company. And I know your entrance is something you take great pride in whenever you get to wrestle. Who are some of the ring announcers out there that you feel deserve more credit for being exceptional at what they do?
Good question. I don't even remember, you know, all of their names, to be honest with you. Whoever was the ring announcer in Hollywood, amazing. Like, they have amazing referees. Their refs are just top. They were top notch at the time. Ring announcers, really good. Backstage interviewers, like, they were amazing. What's his name? Garrett. I don't want to butcher his last name. I'm going to just call him G. Y'all know him as G-Shock. He's, pretty good. Anybody that gets paid to do it, I mean, obviously they've got talent and, you know, they put some work in. They know what they're doing. As far as the guys that I can remember, it'd be G. And I think, what's his name? JT from the Dub C was pretty decent as well. My boy is a really good talker. JT Allen was, that's his name. I know his shoot name. That's why I'm over here chilling it. Him. He's also really good.
Talked about some of the names that were helping you earlier in your career, and we talked a lot of the grappler. In the Portland area, a lot of the wrestlers that were big names in the days of the Don Owen territory still reside in Portland. Some of them are no longer with us, but a lot of them would have been around during your time there. People like Roddy Piper, people like Fidel Sierra, people like Mike Miller, all spent a lot of time in Portland after their careers trying to help the independents. Who are some of the guys from the territory days that you ran into that helped you out the most?
CW, big CW Bergstrom, phenomenal human being, was really good to me. Richie Magnet, God bless Richie Magnet, amazing human being. He was one of the people, like, he got me. And when I say got me, like, back when I was pissing people off and having wrestlers hiding under fake names wanting to fight me, Richie Magnet pulled me to the side and kind of schooled me as kind of, you know, he knew right away that I wanted to be a pro wrestler. And he kind of basically broke some things down for me, schooled me on some game, and really kind of pointed me in the right direction. So definitely got to shout out Richie. I love Richie. And definitely the grappler, Rowdy Piper. Rowdy Piper was amazing. The guy, like, as anybody that's ever talked to the man would tell you, like, he'll give you the shirt off his back. And so giving as far as, like, knowledge. Man, like, sitting in a booking meeting with him, like, is one thing, like, if you have anxiety, your heart's going to be racing 100 miles an hour, because it's almost, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, cartoons or TV shows where they're like, that feeling, like, you legit get that feeling sitting next to the guy, and he's telling you, you know, how you're going to be, you know, the success, you know, on this, on his show. Having him kind of give you the rub, give you the, you know, okay, kid, you got something here. Maybe if you try X, Y, and Z, it'll go to where, you know, it's going to make it viable for to make some money here. So definitely Rowdy Piper. I loved booking meetings with him, like him and – I don't know, I'm not going to, I guess I probably shouldn't start naming, you know, the bookers from that show, but they were, you know, they were all amazing. They know who they are. Big Ugly was really cool back then. I mean, I know he's not a super, like, he's not old school Portland wrestling legend, but as far as, like, a guy that, you know, drew some money here in Portland that was one of the faces of the newer Portland wrestling. I got to shout him out too, because, like, if you're not in a room with, you know, these people, Big Ugly, JD Bishop included, if you're not in a room with them and not listening and learning, watching, you shouldn't be there in the first place. But I learned a lot from that guy. Just being around him, getting to talk to him, getting to watch him, you know, brainstorm, put together, you know, what he's going to do. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, and I apologize, but off the top of my head, those are the guys in the Blanchards. Like, I can't say that enough about, you know, the Blanchards.
I will also point out that Richie Magnet had one of the most underrated drop kicks of all time that you never would have guessed would come out of him, but he did.
Oh, for sure. Richie Magnet was amazing. He's like the grappler, straight butter. I never got the opportunity to work Richie, and I just got the opportunity to interview him and pick his brain and, you know, just, you know, talk to him, learn, sit under the learning tree. Absolutely, that dude was beautiful. He could tell a story, and everything he did made sense. His drop kick was pretty. He was a hell of a worker.
Well, I am going to pass things back to the coach with the most coming at us from coast to coast. He doesn't mean to brag, but he has to boast because his favorite
coach
all-time baseball player is Ned Yost. Coach,
I will leave
in your capable hands. I got to get Chicken Bob ready for his booking. He needs a ride there. But Dripko, always a pleasure, and we will talk to you when you do Turnbuckle Turmoil next month.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sign.
Yeah, Coach.
Go ahead and give your plugs real quick.
Real quick, you can find me on the social media. Just look for Sign Guy. I'm on the Book of Faces, the Twitter, the Gram, the YouTubes. I'm taking Chicken Bob over by the Masonic Lodge today for DPLL, a lucha show in Seattle, Washington. Next Saturday, I'll be back in Vaughan at the Convention Center for Northwest Pro, 29th of December. Just got the ink dry. We will be back with Combat Pro Wrestling presents Theatrical Wrestling at the Mirkwood in Arlington. And ink still drying on a few things for January, but I got a few dates lined up for then as well. And tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil, it is the Wrestling Wives Part 6. We enjoy doing the Wrestling Wives show. We have wives from across the country joining us to talk about their perspective on the business. Always an interesting take, so we look forward to that one.
All right, Sign. Thank you, brother. Have a good night.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Coach.
Yep, see you tomorrow. All right. Man, I'm enjoying your story, brother. What do you got coming up?
Well, right now I'm doing some, you know, doing some writing things. I like to keep my options open just because, like, professional wrestling is a funny, cynical business. So right now I'm just working on some writing stuff.
Okay. And then let me see, who are some up-and-comers that people should keep their eye on that you've seen?
Up-and-comers? Gosh. Man, can't... There's quite a few. Like, there's a lot of really good young talent. I guess there's quite a few kids over at the Oregon Pro Wrestling School. They're producing some pretty good talent right now. It seems like, you know, if you're a young, up-and-coming wrestler, that's the place to be these days. I recently did a lucha show where they had some kids. I have a terrible memory, so I apologize, fellas, but I can't remember their names, but they were solid. Really polite, respectful. You could definitely tell, like, one of the things I learned early in the business was you could tell a wrestling school, you know, how good they are by their students and how they conduct themselves, how they, you know, work, what, you know, the list goes, you know what I'm talking about, Coach.
Yeah, definitely.
And when I seen these kids, and this was my first time seeing them, and with as many concussions as I've had, that's why I'm not remembering their names, but they were just really, I don't know, you could tell they were well-trained. That would be the best way to describe it. They have a young lady from there that I hear is doing some really good stuff. And as far as young talent, I hate to say this because I know it's some people are just going to shit on it, but the biggest potential star right now has got to be Dominic Mysterio. What that kid has done in a short amount of time is nothing short of phenomenal. As far as, you know, I get it, he's that he grew up in it, but still, like, nobody gets it that fast and gets over that quickly and is that solid in-ring work.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I got to drop a name. I hate name dropping, but yeah, I've got to say him. I'm terrible with names, man. I apologize.
That's fine. I think you might remember some of the names on this next category. Now, you've mentioned some tough wrestlers, meaning you have wrestled some of the toughest wrestlers in the world. I would imagine Thunder and the Blanchard brothers are on the list of some of the toughest wrestlers you've wrestled.
They're not some of the toughest wrestlers I've met. They're some of the toughest people I've met.
Okay.
I had a crazy, crazy childhood, man. I ran the streets of Compton and Long Beach as a kid. I grew up in the city in between them, in between Watts and Long Beach, or Watts and Compton, called Linwood. So fighting and being tough is something that I knew from a young age. So those guys, like, they could hold themselves anywhere. They're some of the toughest people I've ever met, yeah. And being in the ring with them, you know that. And there's some people, you know, in some circles in wrestling that, you know, drag their names because of the way they work. But I don't know. I'm old school in the sense of, you know, this ain't ballet. And if you're crying about, you know, certain things, I don't know, this guy's, I don't know, I've just heard some bullshit. Like, you've heard some stuff about J.B. Luce, which kind of blew me away.
Yeah.
I've heard some things about those guys. So any chance I get to talk about, you know, how great they are and how much I loved working with them, I'm going to be the first to tell you. They're phenomenal human beings, first and foremost, but really tough, fun people to work with. I grew up, you know, I love Japan. I love that style. And, you know, they're some of the closest to that kind of style here. You know, if I walked into a bar in downtown L.A. tomorrow, which I'm about to be down there very shortly, we're going to be good. Ain't nobody messing with us. That's why I love them so much, is because they're everything they say they are.
Oh, yeah. And they look the part, just like you do.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's a big part of it. I mean, and it's always the shortest, you know, most out of shape, sorriest looking people talking the most shit. That's another thing, you know. And I'm definitely not going to, I don't want to be a negative on your show, but, you know, but yeah, that's why I love and enjoy them so much.
Nice. Okay, this next segment is called Word Association. I'll list a person, and you tell us your first description or however long it grabbed them. Sin Bodhi.
Wow, teacher. The guy is, you know, got an amazing gimmick, amazing presence. You can tell, like, he's one of those people, like, he's got it.
Yes. Okay. Billy Two Eagles, the guy I debuted against.
Wow, amazing. I love authenticity, and that's what I think of when I think of Billy Two Eagles.
Yes, okay. Short Sleeve Samson.
Never met him, but dude's a hell of a worker. I've seen some of his stuff. I have some non-wrestling friends that recently went to one of his shows, and they love that guy. So he must be doing something right.
Exactly. Okay. How about Debashi?
As a fan of professional wrestling in the Pacific Northwest, he's probably one of the first people that I enjoyed watching, because in professional wrestling, I've always loved heels, and I don't know, he was one of the first people that I enjoyed watching.
Right on, okay. Now, Michelle Starr.
Well, I could talk about gorgeous Michelle Starr all day, almost every day. an absolute amazing human being, first and foremost. But the opportunity to work with him, be his manager, to tag with him, to pick his brain, you know, to, gosh. That's why when I say blessed, like, I was so blessed to be able to work with gorgeous Michelle Starr. I would not be, you know, who I am in professional wrestling as if it wasn't for, you know, gorgeous Michelle Starr and the Blanchards. Like, that's the realest thing I could ever say. The gorgeous one is phenomenal, and you can tell that by all of the top-notch talent he produced, that he had a hand in helping, you know, in their careers. And God, he's amazing, man. I can't say enough about gorgeous Michelle Starr, for real.
Absolutely. Okay, what about Tim Flowers?
Man, Tim Flowers. You know, I've never met Tim Flowers, but definitely was a fan of his work. He's one of those guys, you know, like when you consider yourself, you know, I don't know, you just kind of, you can see, like, that's not a guy you're about to go pick a fight with. I like Tim Flowers. I wish I would have met him, you know, before now.
Okay, what about Havoc?
God, Dave Havoc. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I was kind of angered by him because of something he posted online about George Floyd back in the day. Knowing him and having spent time with him, you know, I love Dave. He's another guy that he produced, you know, really good talent. Like, he's a guy that I was blessed to be around. And I think in life you can have friendships with people and have differences. I think because of social media, it made that difficult. And it kind of strained our relationship. But I have to kind of look past, you know, the disagreement and views that we had, because I know in his heart he's a good person. He's a good human being. And it's kind of funny. I was actually recently talking with Jamaica about him, you know, because, you know, they're friends, and I'd asked her, you know, had she seen him, but yeah, he's. I love Dave, man.
Me too.
I had some fun with him back in the day in Washington.
Yes, and one of my proudest accomplishments was discovering him and helping him get into wrestling and helping him get trained. So,
awesome.
I'm very. And then what about Moondog Moretti?
Wow. God, I loved watching him as a kid. Moondog was a great talker. Like, he's another guy. Like, I believed everything he said. I really, really, really enjoyed watching him. I wish I would have had the opportunity to meet him, because the mutual people, you know, in common that we've gotten to have worked with know, like, all speak so highly of him. Big fan. Wish I would have met him.
Okay. Hey, there's still a chance. He's in good shape. He's an officer down there in Oregon.
Is he really?
Yes, yes.
I thought he was in, like, Texas or somewhere.
Oh, that's, I'm really not sure about that, but I do know that he is an officer, and he's been doing good as far as I know.
That's awesome.
Okay. And then the last name is the Human Tornado.
Oh, my God, the Human Tornado. That's one cool-ass brother, man. I love Tornado. I'm still, like, haven't – stars haven't aligned. We haven't met yet, but he's one of the guys, like back when I was in, you know, training at the academy, back when we did film study, like after required film, he was one of the guilty pleasures that we would sneak in. Me and Dylan spent hours, you know, watching film, and Human Tornado and young Claudio Castagnoli were some of my favorites. I loved the Human Tornado's work, man. What he was doing in PGW and Ring of Honor, I think, like, you know, was, I don't know, man. He was on to something. I want to say revolutionary in a sense, but the way he was integrating dance and wrestling and making it work, like, nobody else has really done that. I know the Michael Jackson dude has, you know, kind of done some stuff, but I think Human Tornado is one of those guys, like, the fact that he's not on somebody's, you know, national TV show is a crime.
Yes. Yes, and him and Santana has wrestled each other. Man, great matches.
Yeah. You can't have a bad match with Human Tornado.
Oh, goodness, and yes.
Wrestling, like, I'm, mind you, I've never worked the guy, but I've seen so much film on him, like, it's impossible. I was a huge fan of his, what he did with Davey Richards, like, on paper, you don't really think that's going to be, you know, the best match, because Davey's, you know, kind of an intense wrestler in a sense. He's not, you know, the entertainment thing, like, I guess you could say, like, I'm entertaining. I'm here to put on a show and to give the fans their money's worth. They came to see, you know, the drip goat. You know, that's what I love about the Tornado. Like, that dude's one of the most entertaining. Like, I could watch that dude all day long, man.
Yes, for sure. Okay, nice. All right. And then what suggestions do you have for people wanting to get into the business?
Man. One, be honest with yourself. Be realistic. And don't do it if it's not something you love. And I guess the other would be to get with, like, a credible trainer, a good school. You know, look at the talent they're producing. Like, are they producing talent? There's some people out here that, you know, they're just, it's a money grab. Like, so you want to be careful. You want to get somewhere that has a history of helping people achieve their dreams, whatever those may be. So that would be my advice.
And then, is there any other schools besides the Portland or the Oregon Pro Wrestling School that you'd like to suggest?
Man, Santino Brothers down in Cali, they're phenomenal. You're going to get an education in pro wrestling. The Ugly Dojo, like, if you're on the West Coast, you've got to be stupid to not hit up the Ugly Dojo. You're not serious about professional wrestling, if to me. And, you know, mind you, this is just in my tiny little mind, but I would say on the West Coast, Santino Bros and the Ugly Dojo. And again, look at the talent. The Ugly Dojo, or Ugly, has produced some amazing talent out of, you know, under his tutelage. I've coached, you know, high school and middle school sports, track and basketball. I know a thing about coaching and teaching. And so that's why when I say those names, the Ugly Dojo, like, you're basically, you're not like, I don't know. I don't think you're serious if you're not attempting to get under, you know, their wings, their tutelage per se.
Exactly, especially if you have the opportunity, for sure.
Right. Look on, at the man. Talent.
Exactly, yes. So anyway, how do people get a hold of you?
They don't.
They don't. Well, I'm for bookings or jobs.
Oh, I mean, you can always
hit
me up. Yeah,
I'm not talking about physically.
For that, yeah. Oh, man. Well, you got to be specific, man. In professional wrestling, shit can be wild. So I'm not trying to be contacted.
Yeah.
Like, I got into professional wrestling for the business. Like, I'm about the business. I want to do business. I'm not here to kiss your ass, be your friend. I mean, if we become friends, that's amazing, you know? But I'm about that business.
Exactly.
So,
well, then how do they
if you're about business, email. You can hit me up at iamcosmo@gmail. You can hit me up on Facebook. Don't hit me up on Instagram. I'm not really a social media type guy, like, but I would say hit me up at iamcosmo@gmail.com if you're about that business. You want the VIP section in your town? Man, it's an experience. So if you're about that life, hit me up.
Okay, right on. Hey, is there anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Plug or promote? I don't get paid to plug or promote right now. I guess I could plug P-Dub's Barbershop, give them a shout-out because they keep me looking drippy as you know what. But, again, Coach, I'm about the business, baby. Like, I'm not about to just be throwing free shout-outs for something. And unless, you know, it's somebody that I respect or, like, I guess I'll shout out Ugly Dojo. Big ups to them. If you're trying to get into pro wrestling, stop bullshitting and hit that man up. Go take run and like whatever you got to do, get that man his money and get serious about your career. His son is right now in Japan. If you know and you do your research and you study, you see where his students are and where they've gone and the type of talent he's produced on the national scale and, you know, independent scale. Like, so definitely want to shout out him. Shout out Santino Bros down in LA. Always doing big things out there. And just anybody and everybody that's had a part in me realizing my dreams. If I forgot your name, I do humbly apologize. Definitely want to shout you guys out as well. But Coach got me hyped from jump with his theme music, so I've been hypey ever since. So, that's why I'm probably forgot some people, forgot some names.
Man, thank you for your story and your time. I really appreciate it. Man, I love what you've done for the business. I love your wrestling mind. I wish you all the luck in the world, man, and I can't wait to interview you again with Sign Guy on Turnbuckle Turmoil coming up. Thank you so much, brother.
Coach, I look forward to it, sir. I've been a fan ever since you whipped Mike Santiago's ass. It's been a pleasure, sir. I really enjoyed getting the chance to talk to you today. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you, and you're welcome. There he is, everyone. The drip goat,
baby. Get it right. Let's
exactly.
go, Coach.
That's right. The drip goat, Cosmo Williams, baby, the one and only.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. Yes, we got the Wrestler's Wives tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil. And then on my upcoming schedule next Saturday, I got the guys from Seattle Sports Union. And at the end of the year, I got a special with Sam Sims on the 30th. Then on the 13th of January, I got the executive producer of The Wrestler, Evan Ginsberg. And we're looking to get some other people signed here pretty soon. But you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out The Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And also the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. And here is Joe Love in the Never Were with Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song. Thank you.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.